I want to encourage you with what happened last Sunday. Remember, the Lord gave me a word. He said, He told me to tell you, don't stop Him from working in your life. Don't put up a guard against God, but open up your heart to the Lord, amen, so that God can continue to do what He has started to do in you, amen, that everything that we proclaimed last week, everything that God called out, that it would take place in your body today, that the healing power of God would flow and do a complete work in you, amen. Last week, I may have called out things that you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you just felt embarrassed, or I've called out things before and people said, oh, I've got it, but I'm not gonna declare it. Praise God if you're not declaring it, but let me just tell you this: receive what God has done and declare what God has done. Amen. Declare what God is doing over your life today. Amen. Well, while you're standing, let's just start right into the Word today. We're going to go out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. Just stand with me as we read the Word. Verse 9, he says, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And Father, we declare that today, God. Lord, no matter what we've been going through, no matter the battle that we've been under, God, we stand before you today in this house of God today, Lord, to declare that, Lord, you will hear and you will save. Just like your three Hebrew children, God, how when before they threw them in the fire, they said, hey, you can throw us in there, but we believe our God will save us. And even if he doesn't, we will never bow to the enemy. And so, Father, we're here today to declare you, Lord, to declare who you are. Lord, to recognize you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To recognize you as the Creator of all things. To recognize you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, we remember what you have done. I remember how you called me out of the darkness into the light, God. I remember how you've healed me of disease, God. I remember the healings that have taken place in this house, Father God. I remember the deliverances, God, in this house of what you've done, God. We remember, God, that according to your word, that by your stripes we are healed. We are healed. We remember today, God. And today, Father, we come before you to declare it, to stand upon the word of the Lord, that the word of the Lord, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, would cut off what the enemy's been trying to do. Cut off the enemy from our lives in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that today we go all in with you. Lord, that we declare your word over our lives. Lord, we not only declare it, we do it, we live it, we breathe it, God. Hallelujah, and Lord, and you act on our behalf. So, Father, as we come into this time of your word, Lord, I pray our hearts would be stirred with a passion for who you are, God. Yeah, God, we just glorify you. Just lift your hands to him today. Yeah, we glorify you, God. We exalt you, God. We thank you, Lord, for healing us today, God, for setting us apart, God. Lord, that you've taken us out of this world. Lord, that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are of you. We are your sons and daughters, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the love that you have for us today, God. And Lord, we declare your perfect love in each one of us today, God. Oh, Father, just abound in us today. Abound in us today, God. Yeah, just overflowing, just fill us, God. Oh, let it rain down, God. Let it rain down, God, on your people today. Oh, we rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Give somebody next to you a high five and say, yes, yes, hallelujah, glory to God. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and preach. We'll do the offering and announcements later, so don't cut out on me, okay? But, you know, when we're praying, we need to recognize, everybody say recognize, who we're praying to, amen? We need to recognize of who we're praying to. We can't live our lives on foxhole prayers. Can I hear an amen? And when I say foxhole prayers, that means when you get in trouble, when you're at odds with something in life, whether it be your health, or relationship, your finances, whatever it is, that you don't make a deal with God. It's just like, Brother Dave, when you're in that foxhole, you know, and you're in Vietnam, and you're over there, and you're making a deal with God, you get me out of this and I'll serve you. We can't, those aren't the prayers that God is looking for, although sometimes they're very effective because God knows our heart. But we need to know God, amen. We need to have such a relationship with Him that when we call, when I say, hey God, He says, hey Ron. That's what He's looking for, amen. That he's responding to you, that you have that relationship, Joe, that you go, hey God, He goes, Joe, how are you today? That there's that flow of heaven coming up and down. I've been reading Genesis. Well, to see this month so far, you know, we finished the book of Luke. We finished the book of Acts. We finished the book of Daniel. I'm almost through with Genesis. But in Genesis, I was reading about, you know, how he was, Jacob, he laid his head down on that rock and he's having this dream and he sees the angels coming up and down from heaven. You know, Jacob's ladder, the angels coming up and down. And it's like, you know, we need to be aware and have such relationship that we're capturing what God wants to do, amen? That we're not just floating through this life and just saying, hey, God, but that we have a deep relationship with Him. God is looking for more of you. He wants you. He wants that deep relationship. He wants to walk with you. We used to sing that old song, He walks with you and talks with you along life's narrow way because He lives, amen. He lives and He desires to fellowship with you. Huh, look at that little cutie right there. Stand up and turn around. Put the camera on that little girl. Come on, this is a little Melody. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Yes. Oh, Shandariyama. Ah. Melody, there is a melody in your heart that God has put there. And in the days ahead as you grow, even at 4 and 5 years old, God's going to put words to sing in your heart that are going to be a joy to Him. People may not always understand what you're singing, but you're going to be a joy to the Lord. You are a joy to the Lord, Melody. And God is going to flow through you with that song of the Lord. It's not going to be songs that everybody else knows, but it's the song of the Lord that He's putting in your heart, and it's going to flow out of you like that mighty rushing river. And God says that that river that's going to flow out of you is going to be like that river that flows from His throne, that flows out from the throne room of God, that runs. And wherever that water goes, there'll be healing. And the Lord says that when you open your voice and you begin to sing, that everywhere that water flows of your voice, there's going to be healing. Because God says, I'm putting healing waters into you today, and it's going to flow like a mighty river out of you. Woo! I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you cry there. Yeah. She's like, that woo was a little too much. She's looking at me intense. Oh, amen. I hope you got that recorded for them. Praise God. God's going to do it. Amen. You know, when Delon and I met, praise God, we met on my 18th birthday. Hallelujah. And coming up, we're going to celebrate 38 years. It's exciting what God is doing. We're more in love now than we've ever been in our lives. You know, and I think it's just, you know, we've learned to not excuse our idiosyncrasies, but we've learned to overlook things in our lives out of love. Not sin, but, you know, she has her way, I have my way, and she just loves me no matter what. You know, and it's come because we've built a relationship together. She knows my heart. I told her, number one, listen, if I ever say anything, my heart is never to offend you. I never want to offend you. That's number one, okay? And number two, when I say something that's offending to you, go back to number one. My heart is never to offend you, you know? And she knows that about me, and she gives me do-overs, and she allows me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance to get things right. See, that's the kind of relationship God wants us to have with Him. He gives do-overs, amen? He allows you, you know, to come to Him and say, God, I messed up. I want to do it right. And He says, okay, come on. Let's go. Let's do it right, amen? He's got a plan for you, amen? And as Jehoshaphat declared before the Lord, he recognized, everybody say recognized? who God is. Remember, he said, you're the God that created 50 billion trillion stars to look at. Man, that's just the God that we serve, amen. He created the heavens and the earth, and he began to recite examples of how God's power was manifested. Amen, this is how he's coming and praying. And we live in a day when everybody wants power. Everybody wants their way. I'm just convinced that, you know, government people do not care about people. They don't care about the average folk anymore. I praise God for what President Trump's doing, but I just think the government just doesn't care about the people. But God does. Amen. And we do. We care about you. And I hope you care about each other. But people want power. And God's objective for us is to build a spiritual foundation in us. Amen. Out of relationship with him. So that when we pray not to some formula, but we remember, you're not coming to a man. You're not coming to a man. You're coming to God. The one that created the 50 billion trillion stars. Who created, I forget how many universes I said there are. The creator of that, the one who created mankind. And he is the authority of this world. He is all powerful, amen. He is the authority of this world. And there is no more greater power than the power of the Word of God. His Word is powerful, amen. His Word is sharp. His Word will transform our lives. Matthew 28:18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, everybody say authority. Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to Jesus. So in 2 Chronicles, we have Jehoshaphat setting up the cornerstone for prayer, declaring that the very basis of what he is saying, Lord, the petition I'm about to make to you is not based on folklore. It's not based on mythology. It's not based on pagan religions or of our neighbors. It's not based on superstition. It's not based on witchcraft or any form of demon power. He says, rather, I stand here upon your word, for you have declared yourself to be the God of Israel. You know, I'm reminded when the seven sons of Sceva went to go out and cast out demons. They said, in the name of Paul's Jesus, and in the name of Paul, we command you to come out. And the demon said, well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but I don't know you. And that demon beat the tar out of them. Ripped their clothes off, and they ran out naked. You see, we got to have that relationship to where that we know that when we stand upon the Word of God, and I'm not talking about putting it on the floor and standing upon it. I'm talking about that you got the Word of God in you so deep that it is the first thing that out of your mouth, that the Word of God flows like a river out of you, that when situations arise and you start declaring, well, my God says, by his stripes I'm healed. You declare, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. You start declaring what God says over your circumstances instead of declaring your circumstances. We're so good at declaring our circumstances. We need a mindset change so that we're declaring what God says over our lives. Because I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be caught up in what the enemy is saying. I don't want to be caught up in what the devil's doing. I want to be caught up and caught away with the word of the Lord. Amen. I want to flow with God and that river that he's created for us. You know, we went, I think we were 20 years old. We went on Family Feud. And it was Delon's family, but they liked my name, King Family. So they made me the head of family. I was 20 years old. I'm the head of family. It was me, Delanda, and then all her family. And they asked us the question. They said, what was the first song that you learned as a kid? You know, man, my mind went blank. I said, the Bible. And he's like, you know, it was Richard Dawson at the time. He goes, the Bible. I said, yeah. You know, I mean, I didn't say happy birthday. I didn't say Jesus loves me. I said, the Bible. And he says, well, sing it for us. I mean, I'm on national television, you know. And so I did. I sang it. I'll sing it for you right now. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. You're not wishing. You're not wishing when you stand upon the Word of God. Amen. Number one, when you stand upon the Word of God, you are hopeful. Amen. You are hopeful when you stand upon the Word of God. And that's number one today, Ed. You are hopeful. Ed gets caught up in it sometimes. He forgets to change the slide. And hope is not a wish. Oh, it's you're not saying, oh, I wish God would heal me, or I wish God would bless me, or I wish God would give me enough. I wish God would restore this. Hope is not a wish. It's a confident expectation, a confidence, having a confidence in God of His promise, provision, and His character. Amen. That's what hope is. It's not a wish. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
So His promise, promises of the Word are incredible. His provision is promised. And His character is unchanging. His character is unchanging. He does not change. Amen. So His promises are for those who hope in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7, it says this. It says, but blessed, everybody say blessed, are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Blessed. You're blessed when your hope and confidence is in the Lord. You're blessed. Amen. He will bless you. Amen. That blessing of the Lord which makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. I'm not talking about that you're going to win the lottery. You know, all that would be fun, you know. But I've known people that won the lottery. I've known people that won large amounts of money and it destroyed their life. You know, but what I'm talking about, that you're going to be blessed. And when you're blessed, Pastor Jesse, you're blessed body, soul, and spirit. You're blessed in your health. You're blessed in your mind, your will, your emotions. You're blessed in your spirit, man. I went and listened to Jerry Savelle yesterday. He worked with Kenneth Copeland for years, and we had the opportunity to spend about 3 hours with him yesterday. And he said, 2 years ago, Pastor Dave, he had the same surgery you had, the carotid artery. It was 90% clogged. And when they did the surgery, some of it broke loose and went to his brain. And he had a massive stroke. So that when he woke up, he could not remember anybody. His wife, his kids, nobody. He couldn't remember anything. And he could only say one word. Yes. And when he was in that state in the hospital, Kenneth Copeland came, Jesse Duplantis came, they all prayed for him and were interceding for him. You know, and I'm trying to remember why I started this story. His promises are for those who hope in the Lord. But he as he went through this process, he stayed on what he knew from before. It just started coming back to him. When he really woke up, when he really came to, you know, he still couldn't remember. And his daughter got in his face and said, by the word of the Lord, you know who I am. You tell him who I am today. And he said, you're this. And he started naming names. And then his son-in-law came in. Because after that's all he could say. Because he could still only say yes. His son-in-law came in to him and said, Pops, I'm here. I got only a few minutes to talk to you. I'm going to just tell you a few things. He says, I'm on my way to work, and, you know, I really admired that 68 Mustang you have, that red one that's in your museum. And, you know, I feel that you should give it to me. So can I tell everybody that you're giving me that Mustang? Because all he'd been saying is yes. So he came in, and Jerry Savelle said, he goes, everything changed at that moment. Out of me came a big, loud, resounding, no! But he talked about how he stood upon the Word of God and as he began to grow. And within, when he got home, he got to that place where he could just focus on Jesus at home. Out of that hospital and everybody telling him what's wrong, he got into the place of everything that's right, standing upon the Word of God. And I know why I was telling you. Kenneth Copeland went in there and preached to him for 2 hours straight. Just preach to him. And Jerry Savelle laid there for 2 hours, his wife said, and prayed in tongues. He prayed in tongues the whole 2 hours that Kenneth Copeland was preaching to him. And what Jerry said to us yesterday, he says, that just lets you know your brain does not control your spirit. They're not connected, amen. Your spirit overrides everything, amen. So when you're standing in the spirit upon the word of God, it overrides everything, amen. And we got to remember that we have that power in us of the spirit of God. And since we have that, his provision is to those who trust in the Lord. How many of you trust in Jesus? Well, his provision is to you today. His provision is to you. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God, everybody say, my God, shall supply all, everybody say all, your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So in this passage, Paul is thanking the Philippians for supporting him. He says, he knows what it means to not have enough. And he knew what it means to have too much. He said, but no matter what circumstance he was in, he said, he made this declaration, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, God's provision is for those who trust in us. And when we're struggling with provision, we need to trust God. You know, you listen to some of these men of God who have great faith. And the things that they've given the Lord, and God just responding to them. It's amazing. You know, when you trust in the Lord and you sow seed into the kingdom of God, you plant that seed will bring a harvest to you, amen? God will bring a harvest to you. So learning to sow the seed. And so it's like when Jehoshaphat prayed, he said, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before you in this temple, in your presence. Your name is on this temple, and we'll cry out to you in our affliction, and we will hear and save us. Amen. He's declaring it. You will hear us, and you will save us. It's a declaration. You will hear and save us. Amen. It's standing upon God's provision and not your own. See, because we think, well, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. Hey, none of us are worthy. None of us deserve it. But that's where the grace of God comes in. He does it even though we're not worthy. He is the God that provides, and his provision is real, and his provision is for you. His provision is for you. And you know, and when you're walking with him, he will do it. He will do it. Now, man, when I had one foot in the world and one foot in the church way back in the day, I didn't trust God to do anything for me because I thought, I really am not in a position to receive. Pastor Jesse, I was playing in the world. I came to church on Sunday, I'd say, hi, Pastor Dave. I made sure he'd see me because I didn't like the phone calls. But I'd get out. You got to go deeper. You can't have that one foot in, one foot out. You got to go all in. And as you're all in, he says, I'm going to provide. His grace abounds towards him, and he'll provide, amen? He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. He says, I'm going to provide for you, amen? So, you know, I trust him in that, and because I trust, I tithe, amen? Because I trust, I give to missions. Because I trust, I give. I'm a giver because I believe that God's going to rain it back to me, amen? And I want you all to come to the business meeting on February 4th. I expect this house, our sixth, I expect this place to be packed that night with all of you here because you want to hear what God has done. I want to tell you what God has done, but I'm not going to tell you till that day. So you got to come to the business meeting to find out what God has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do because I'm going to release it to you that night, what God is doing, and it is miraculous what God is doing because he is the God that provides. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. You know, when Abraham went to the mountain to take his son Isaac, he took him up there. You know, and Isaac's going, hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham's going, don't worry about it. God will provide. You know, and he takes him up there. He makes the kid build the fire, you know, build this thing up. And he ties this kid up and he puts him on there. And I can imagine what Isaac is thinking. Oh, my gosh, what are we doing here, Dad? You know, I mean, what are you doing, Dad? What's going on, Dad? You know, all these questions flowing out of Isaac. And man, that knife comes up. Stop! Man, Pastor Jesse, it's a good thing Abraham could hear from heaven, huh? Man, Isaac is going, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. God provided the ram for them to sacrifice. Even when the people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. God made water come out of a rock. God rained down manna from heaven for 40 years. They were taken care of for 40 years. Our God will provide. Amen. When the Philistines came against Israel and tried to defy the God of the Israelites, God sent a shepherd boy down there to kill that defying giant in the name of Jesus. When you gave to the Lord and the enemies tried to rob you, we sing a song here. No, no, devil, not today. Amen? And that's where you got to get to where you're not just going rolling over and playing dead, but you're standing up and saying, no, no, devil, not today. My God provides. My God provides, and devil, you're not going to take what my God has provided. And, you know, because I'm a tither, I tell the Lord, I said, could you rebuke that guy for me? Because he says he'll rebuke the devourer from you. Our God provides, amen? And because he provides, his character, see, his character is not based on me. Hallelujah. His character is not based on me. It's not based on you. It's based on who he is. He is God Almighty, amen? He is God. And he doesn't base his character on us. He is love. I mean, in reality, if we looked up love in the dictionary, it just should just say God. Because he is love. God is the definition of love. Now, there are ways that we act out our love, but God is love. And his perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? His character never changes. He's a giver. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. Amen? He's long-suffering towards us. And he is faithful to his word. It says he is faithful to his word to perform it. Now, let me just explain that to you. So I want you to understand the full context of God's faithfulness to his word. There are things in here that it says, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. God can't change his mind for you. If you're doing those things, he says that you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, guess where you're not going to go? See, you can't think, well, God is faithful to his word. He wants to save everybody. Yes, he does. But he wants us to conform to him. Amen? He wants us to be more like him. He wants us to step out of the sin, out of the darkness, and into the wonderful light. To let go of those things which are destroying our lives, which are destroying our relationship. And he wants us to be free from those things. Amen? So that we can receive that grace that he's got upon us. Grace is not so you can do what you want. Grace is so that you can do what he wants. See, when people say, oh, come on, Ron, let's go have a beer. You know, back in the day, now nobody ever asked me to go have a beer. But they say, let's go have a beer. I said, no, don't do that anymore. And they're like, well, God's grace is sufficient. Yes, it's so sufficient I don't have to drink. I'll sit there and I'll have a water or a soda with you, but I don't need to ever do that. I don't need to do that stuff. God's grace is sufficient for me that I'm free. Amen, Pastor Jesse? It has liberated me. It has freed me in the name of Jesus. So, you know, God is faithful to his word. He performs it. James 1:17, it says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. God is not changing. God is not evolving. We are evolving to be more like God. Amen? We're to evolve into the image of Christ, not to stay the way we were, but to be transformed into the image of God. So that our light shines all the time. Amen. So that when people see us, they see the love of God. Amen. That's what God is working in us to do. Because he's not changing. His character is the same. What he did yesterday, he'll do today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He's unchanging. So you got to get it into your spirit. When he says, by your stripes you are healed, we got to receive that. We got to get it in us. Something clicked for Don Maurice, you know, because the word says he sent forth his word in Psalms 107, verse 19 and 20. He said, he sent forth his word, amen, and healed us of all disease. He sent forth a word. God had me prophesy to her on Friday night. He sent a word and healed her, and the pain that she was in for 6 weeks left. See, the word has got to get in us, amen. And so when I want to challenge you with this, number two, pray the word. Pray the word. Pray the word. Everybody say, pray. Pray the word. So if you really want to see your prayers answered, then make a positive request based upon the word of God. What does God say? You know, we prayed Friday night in here, and I said, this is what I said. I said, we're not going to declare any sickness and disease. I don't want to hear what you're going through. I don't want to hear what people are suffering through. All I want to hear is what God has said. Because, you know, we come and we say, well, you know, I got this. No, I don't want to hear what you got. I want to hear who Jesus is to you. He healed us. Amen. That's what we need to declare. See, because we're really good at explaining what a doctor has said. We're really good about explaining, you know, the details, you know, and getting it written out so we know this is what we've got. But listen, I don't want to come into agreement with that. I want to come into agreement with the Word. So I want to pray. So Friday night, we prayed the Word of God. We're praying the Word of God over our lives. We're speaking the Word of God out because there's power. Everybody say power. Power. In the Word. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, it says this. It says, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Amen? This is an incredible promise. This is incredible. When we start praying, see, he sent the word down, and the word rains down on us, and he says it's going to accomplish what it was sent to do. So instead of declaring how I feel or what the doctor says, you know, I don't go to the doctor. Listen, don't do this. Don't go to the doctor and call him a liar. Why go to the doctor? If you're going to the doctor, if you're feeling bad, and the doctor tells you what's wrong, say, okay, thank you for your time, and then go out and pray, Lord, I thank you that you're my healer. I thank you that by your stripes I am healed. Amen. You know, don't pray what the doctor says, but pray what God says. Don't come into agreement with the doctor. Come into agreement with the word. Amen. I know, man, it is a mindset change that we have to make. And I know people think, well, is this a word of faith, church? Absolutely. We have to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please who? God. We have to have faith. And I have faith in his word that it's going to accomplish what he said it would. Amen. I remember listening to Jerry yesterday. He said, you know, because these guys, they come under a lot of heat. But he was talking about Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts came from... He went and did the funeral, had a funeral for one of his children. And he left the funeral to go to a meeting to preach. And a reporter got in his face and said, what are you going to do when that person you prayed for dies? He said, well, everybody dies. I'm just going to go next. What are you going to do? I just trust God, amen? He sent his word to accomplish, so I'm trusting in that. And if it doesn't work the way I want it to or the way the word declared it to, God is God. He's sovereign. God gets to do what he wants, amen? And so if he says it's time, it's time. And whoop, you're out of here. Oh, hallelujah. But we still keep going. We don't give up. I don't get discouraged. I don't get run down. Oh, well, you know, I prayed. And, I mean, I've had saints here in the church that I've gone and I prayed for and watched that meter go to zero and say, oh, shoot. I was there when June Mahaffey went with Jesus. Man, I'm in that ER. And, you know, they got doctors and tubes and everything, everybody everywhere. And they said, "Preacher, get in there." I went in and prayed. And as we prayed, because I only know one way to pray. I don't know the prayer that says, "Lord, receive them into your hands." I don't know that one. I only know, "God, resurrect her." That machine zeroed out. I said, "Well, family, God bless you. Let's do a service and celebrate her life." What are you going to do? He's sovereign. You got to learn that now. Because if you don't learn it now, you'll get discouraged later. When things don't go the way you expect them to go, just know He's a sovereign God and that by His stripes we are healed. I speak it over the people that are dying. I don't care. I went to one place. They said, "Pastor, come. This lady's dying. She's almost dead." I went in and I prayed. I said, "Okay." So I called them the next week. I said, "Hey, so you need to do a service." They said, "No, she got up and went home." I'm like, "Oh, praise God." You know, it's kind of like, you know, they're praying for Peter. Peter's in prison. And they're interceding and they're praying, Bob. They're praying, crying out to God, man. All the disciples are in there crying out, all the apostles, and they're crying out to God, and the people are praying. And the angels tell Peter, "Hey, get up and get out of here," you know. And Peter says, it was a long time before he realized it wasn't a dream, you know. And he goes to the house and he knocks on the door. He knocks on the gate, Scott. And the lady comes in, she opens the gate, and then she shuts it. And they go back and they say, "Well, who was it?" And they said, "Well, it's Peter." And they said, "Oh, it must have been a ghost." And Peter's out there banging on the door still. See, because sometimes when we pray, we don't really believe that God's going to do it. Amen. But when you start having that relationship and you have a confidence in who God is, that God is going to do something supernatural for you. Amen. Then you have that confidence in who He is. And so you pray, believing, Joe. You pray, believe. You say, "God, come on, I'm Joe." You have a confidence in who He is. And when you're praying the Word, and He says, "Listen, the Word comes to you. It's not going back void. It's going to accomplish what it says." And my confidence is in that. My confidence, I'm not going to let it be shaken. I'm not going to let it be shaken. Amen? Just like Oral Roberts said, we're all going to die. Let it be in God's timing. Amen. When my dad was 69 years old and he was dying, he was blood pressure 70 over 20, I went in and I said, "Mom, what do you want to do?" She said, "He wants to live." Yolanda and I were in the ER, Corona Regional. We laid hands on his chest, said, "In the name of Jesus, come to life." I went out 15 minutes later, the nurse comes after me, she goes, "Can I have your card?" I said, "Sure, why?" She goes, "So we can call you when people's blood pressure is bottoming out. Because your dad's blood pressure is 120 over 70, and it looks like he's going to be okay." And he came out of it, Bear. He came out of it. And it gave him time to get his life right with Jesus. Why? Because me and my whole household shall be saved. Amen. I'm standing upon the Word of God. I don't care what circumstances I'm looking at. I'm standing upon the Word of God that me and my whole house shall be saved. Amen. I stand upon that. I believe that. I don't care what they're doing right now. I don't care what they're doing today, but the Lord would call them saved. He's bringing them out. This Word is going to prosper everywhere you send it. Because He's given it to you. He's given it to you. He's given it to you. So it's going to accomplish. It's going to prosper, Mike, everywhere it goes. That Word is going to come. It's going to hit you. Yeah. And it's going to do what it says it's going to do. It's going to heal you. Sarah, right? Yeah, amen. It's going to accomplish it. The Word of the Lord. So you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to freak out when the doctor tells you things. Don't freak out. Just choose to live on the Word. Stand upon the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man. He is not a man. Stop approaching Him like He's your buddy, like He's some guy. Approach Him as who He is. He is not a man. He is who? God. Amen. So He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? That's who he is. He is God. So what am I saying to you? To stand upon the word of God. It does not mean, like I said, you put it on the ground and stand upon it. It means that the promises get written on your heart. They're in your mind. They're on the tip of your tongue. So that when life comes at you hard, it's the first thing that comes out of you. The word of God flows through you. That you get the word in you so deep that it's like, I hear what you're saying, Doc. You walk out of there. For me, these are the scriptures I use. They're not going to be on the board, but you might want to write them down. It's Exodus 15, 26. It says in there, Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord God that heals you. I am the Lord God that heals you. Amen. It does not say, I am the Lord God that puts these diseases on you. It says, I am the Lord God that heals you. Amen. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3, 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, bless his holy names. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So in declaring what the doctor says, instead of declaring that, I declare this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, who's forgiven all my sin and healed me of all iniquity in the name of Jesus. And then I pop over to 107, 19 and 20. It says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he sent his word and healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. And I go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among them, amen. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. So I'm proclaiming Jesus over what he's done over my life. And so as I declare that over my life, I know that he is at work in me. He's delivering me out of those destructive things. He's healing all disease in the name of Jesus. He has sent the Word to heal us, amen. So Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Hallelujah, 53, 4 and 5. My Bible just almost goes right to him because, man, this is where I go. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Everybody say are. We are healed. I hear this right now. I hear, but because of how you feel. Take the but out of it. And stay with the word. You understand what I'm saying? But God, I don't feel like it. It's not based on our feelings. It's based on what God has done. His character is unchanging. His provision is for you. Take the but out of it. Stand upon the word of God. Matthew 8. 16 and 17. The evening had come, they brought him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You see, pray the word. My hope is in the Lord, and I pray the word over my life. I can stand and pray the word for hours. And this is what I mean when I say pray the word. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I recognize you as my God, and I remember what your word has declared. I remember how when Jesus came and how many brought demon-possessed people to him, how he sent forth a word out of the mouth of Jesus and them spirits were cast out, that he sent a word and that people were, all the people were healed. And I pray today that that word that you sent them would come to us, because I know that in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and that the word was made manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us, and so that we could be healed. See, I start declaring the word and I pray it through, and I can go to any passage of scripture and just start praying it through, because there is power. Everybody say power in the word of God. And so if you want to start living on answered prayers, you want to start seeing God move in your life, I'm telling you, number one, you recognize who God is in your life. You recognize who he is as creator, that he is the Almighty God, amen? And then you start remembering what he has done. This is the last few weeks that we've talked about, recognizing, remembering. And as you remember what God has done, let it sink into you what he has done. As you say, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no respecter of persons. So if you did it for Pastor Ron, you'll do it for me. You did it for the people in this village, Jesus, you'll do it for me. You did it in your word. I read all about these powerful miracles. If you did it then, you can do it again. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You guys are going to be singing that all week. Hallelujah. It's not being conformed to this world, but it's being transformed by the hearing of the word of God. We don't need to tell God our issues. We need to bring up the promises. We need to stand upon the promises. It's either I believe and trust in doctors, or I believe and trust in the Lord God Almighty. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Don't do what they tell you. I went to the doctor a year ago, and they said, if you don't do something, you're going to die early. So I'm doing something. Man, I get up and I go to the gym every day. Man, I'm doing something. I'm cutting out the sugar. I went to a wonderful birthday party yesterday. Oh, my gosh, the dessert table looks so good. Oh, they said, we made you lemon bars, Pastor, because we know that's your favorite. Oh, yeah. You know, the cupcakes, the cake, the ice cream, you know, they're standing there eating that ice cream and the cake, and I'm like, wow, the popcorn, oh, it had flavored popcorn and chocolate and stuff. They had Oreo cookies dipped in white chocolate. Oh, man, it just looked like I want to partake. Delon's like, here, taste. I'm like, devil. No. I didn't say that. I tasted it. I ate a little corner, but that's all I had. I'm not going to give in. We can't stop, amen? You go to the doctor, doctor tells you, hey, you need to make some adjustments in your life. What do? Make the adjustments, amen? But in the midst of that, man, I'm just praying the word of God over my life. I checked my blood pressure this morning, and it's pretty darn good. It's really good. Hallelujah. Got a little app on my phone I can do it with. I'm like, hey, Ron's living. He shall live and not die. So I'm not saying don't go to doctor. But my trust is not in a doctor. Last time I went in for a checkup, I told the doctor, I go, I'm not taking all that medicine you gave me. He looked at my stuff, he goes, well, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it, because it's working. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. So, what is running through your heart and mind when life happens to you? What's going on? I remember Rory last year when he's in the hospital, he's like, get Pastor Ron down here right now. He seen me break the door. I came in the door to the ER, and he starts screaming, where have you been? I need you to get in here. I'm like, okay. Where do you go when life comes at you hard? Are you rocked? Are you found without the hope? Does it get too hard to pray for you? I'd like us to stand today and make a declaration. We're going to declare the word of God over our lives today. Barry, you got to stand too, man. Yeah, I don't care about that camera. Get up. And I want us to declare this together. And we'll just start at if, okay? Ready? Begin. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say. Hallelujah! Hear and say. So when we pray, recognize God. Hallow his name. Remember what he has done. Stand upon his word. You may be seated. And as we finish up today, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, life has been coming at me hard. And I have been a little rocked. And I need to get into the position of that you're talking about today. And listen, I've been at this for a long time. And I know it works, standing on the Word of God. But I know seasons in my life where I would get so rocked I didn't know what to do. But I just keep growing in God. Remember I talked about your faith would grow as He waters that seed. And that seed gets water through our tribulations and how we respond to them. But maybe you've been rocked lately and you haven't quite known what to do. And you're saying, Pastor, I need you to agree with me in prayer that today is a new day for me. That today I'm moving forward with what you said. If that's you today, just raise your hand because I'm going to pray for you. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today, God. We thank you for the promises of your word, Lord, that it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, that as we come before you, that, Lord, it would burn in our hearts to get into your word. Lord, I pray today where people would say, I read it, but I don't understand it. Or, Lord, they would even say, I don't even know where to read. I don't know where to begin. That, Lord, that you give them a vision today. Lord, that you bring understanding today by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that as they read, they gain the understanding of your word of God and that it goes deep into our hearts, Father. Lord, that today, out of a confession, God, that you're renewing their strength. And, Lord, whatever has been rocking them, whatever has been shaking them today, Lord, we pull it down in Jesus' name. We pray that the God who heals, the God that delivers, the God that redeems to come on that situation, that you redeem it today in the name of Jesus. Father, that you do a supernatural work in the name of Jesus. Father, that you be glorified. You be glorified. Lord, in the decisions made here right now, to develop a deeper relationship with you. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our heart today, God. For the healing that's taking place. Lord, we love you. Lord, we just thank you today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today, huh? You ready? Why don't we just worship and we're going to receive the offering in a few minutes. Bob's going to come.
Good morning. Good morning, church. Boy, the Lord's really mixing it up today. The fact that I'm up here is proof positive that He's mixing it up. Today, I want to give you a few words on the power of sharing. And I'm going to read from Acts 4, 32 through 37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here, God, the creator of all things, is demonstrating what it means and what the power is in sharing. The Holy Spirit brought together this community of believers and unified them in one heart and mind. Think of the faith it took to relinquish oneself from all their possessions. I believe that when we give tithes and offerings to our Lord, He readily redistributes the funds with the intention that we share them with each other. I further believe that the number of witnesses to the gospel as they grow, the Holy Spirit will guide and increase the frequency of sharing. As the act of sharing increases in all the earth's countries and the people's need to possess material things diminishes, the Lord will abolish all class structures. For His goal is equality. In Luke chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist declares, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." You know, the other day I came across an article on the internet that compared the world's financial system to the financial system of the kingdom of God. In the world system, the rich and powerful engineer a system in which the supply of goods always falls short of the demand. As a result, the rich can set the value. In fact, global corporations invent periods of scarcity precisely to drive up the price of a commodity. You can see an example of this with the oil producers in the Middle East, who can drive up petroleum prices simply by stopping oil production for an unspecified time period. In contrast, the financial system of the kingdom of God is based on abundance. God is extravagant and blesses His children far over and above what they need, so they can in turn be a blessing to others. The Apostle John said it this way, "From His abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another." Notice that the Lord expects us to bless others from this abundance. Give and you shall receive. The author of the article then points out that the world economy preaches a fear of loss. Due to this morbid fear of loss, some of us have become compulsive savers, hoarding our wealth. Now, although there is nothing wrong with being financially conservative, such fear indicates we're following the world economy and not that of God's kingdom. When there is abundance, God's children share with each other. They have a heart of generosity. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 tells us, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." As believers, we know that God has given us everything we have, and we are told in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27, "Those who give to the poor will lack nothing." So why wouldn't we give? Why wouldn't we give? We can read in Proverbs chapter 11, 24 through 25, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and the one who waters will indeed be watered." The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. preached that every man must decide whether he will walk in the light of creative altruism with a concern for the welfare of others or in the darkness of selfishness. Once again, reading from Proverbs, this time Proverbs 22, verse 9. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Yes, the person who has a bountiful eye has faith in God's provision. Such a person has turned his heart toward the Lord's statutes and not toward selfish gain. Instead, he daily looks for opportunities to share and to lift up his brothers and sisters. He sees clearly, perhaps for the first time, how much the Holy Spirit wants him to give. As the Holy Spirit teaches us the correct reception of God's word, our spirit is revived and renewed in multiple ways. We can envision a church, a city, perhaps even a world in which we share everything we have with each other. A happier, healthier world where we will all partake of the abundant and eternal life with the only true God, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of truth. Thanks for listening.
We praise God and sing, oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
Let's sing that again, oh, praise.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
Then on the third,
at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, chapel dead, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the
your first time visiting us, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us in worship today. In the back, you'll find Dawn Maurice. She's going to greet you in our We Connect corner. We want to get to know you, and we want you to get to know us if this is your first time. So tonight, we have a lot going on, Pastor DeLonda. Tonight, we have an event here at 6 p.m., and every single person is invited. In this room, and those that you know, you definitely want to make it out. 6 p.m. Pastor Rich Gehr is going to come, and we're going to join the Arabic church tonight here at 6, and we want to hear the word of God come from this man. And just come, bring somebody.
Amen. Sorry. I am super excited, Jeanette. We have a party next Sunday, and you're all invited. There's no sign-ups and there's no fees. It's called a Remember When party. And you get to come from 1995 back to your yesteryears, whatever that is for you, wearing whatever your favorite costume is. I've heard ladies say, I have suit coats in my closet that have the shoulder pads. Well, now is your time before you get rid of it. Yep, pull it out. We are going to serve you a fried chicken dinner. It's for free. The tables will be all set in here. And we're going to have a great time of remembering when. Okay? We are going to have a blast. And you're just all invited, whoever shows up. It'll be during the service. Okay? It'll be during the service. So come and just remember when with us.
wonderful things going on. You know, for the last couple years, we have had the Arise Mission Conference. It's been fantastic. We're going to have that again. It's going to be here March 1st through the 2nd. You want to be a part of it. We have six of our missionaries, coming to speak. Not just coming to hang out, coming to speak. You don't want to miss what's been going on where they've been. It's where we aren't. We're here. They're there. We don't want to miss what they have to say. So you want to be a part. You want to invite people. You want to come March 1st and 2nd. It's going to be an incredible time. But there's some other incredible stuff going on here.
Oh, yeah. Wait for it. God said, do a women's retreat.
Yes.
After 5 years of not having one, we ladies are having a women's retreat. Okay, and it is going to be in Big Bear, and it's going to be at the Best Western Chateau. Okay, and it's going to be March 2nd to the 4th, which is a Thursday night at 7 till Saturday morning at noon is checkout. So we are going to have a blast. We have had so much fun putting this thing together. God told me to do it, so that tells you He's ready to move on you. So there are already churches that are wanting to join us. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. We are going to have a blast. So sign up. It's in our inner foyer there. We're going to sign up. And you can make payments too. So it's called, get this, and my little book that I like to read out of, my little devotional, started with this today. Walk with me.
Amen.
You know, the Lord wants you to track with Him. Walk with me and hear what I have to say. And I love that. So that's our title today for the women's retreat. Walk with me.
Amen. Who wouldn't want to walk with God? Amen. Well, here's some other things that we have going on as well. Not only do we want to walk with God, but we want you guys to walk alongside us in serving. Sound and Media needs your help. So, if you are interested in sound and media, you want to be here February the 3rd at 8 a.m., and you're going to meet with Ed in the back, and he's going to kind of go over what that entails. They are willing to train you. If you've never done that before, that's okay. I've never done a lot of things in this church, and now I'm a pro. So, we need you guys to serve, and we want to serve with you.
You know, Jeanette, my cup just overflows with love for you.
Oh, I love your cup.
Love Cup, ladies. It's coming. February 11th. Love Cup, but it's also on request / Funko Party.
Woo-hoo.
Who's ready to throw the dice? We're going to have fun. It's going to be an amazing time. There's also another sign-up sheet out there. We made it $3 because, you know, I got to buy the prizes for the winners and the losers. The least bunko gets a prize as well. So you can play good or bad and you can still win. But it's $3 for one, but I made it $2 for $5. If you want to bring a friend, invite
somebody. Everybody wants to bring a friend.
Yes, so sign up because I need to know. Because in this situation, I can't just leave it up to chance. I need to know how many tables to set up, how many papers to print for the scoring and the gifts and everything else that needs to happen. So please sign up and let me know if you're coming and if you're going to bring a friend.
Wow, that's a lot going on in the church.
Yes.
You know, and there's a whole lot more. So how do you find out about what's going on in the church? How about what's happened in 2018? Don't you kind of want to know where we ended? I do. Which is why we're all going to be here February 6th at 7 p.m. for the business meeting. It's usually our growth group, and we love our growth groups, but we're going to growth group right here in the house of God, so that we can find out that little piece of information that Pastor Ron's not telling anybody. By the way, I've tried. February 6th, 7 p.m., you want to be here. You want to know the finances of the church. You want to find out what happened in 2018. But more than that, you want to find out what's happening in 2019 moving forward. Because this is changing. So you want to be a part of that, so make sure you make it out. In the bulletin, you have everything that we've talked about and then some. Check your bulletin. If you need to contact the church at any time, check the bulletin. And don't forget to connect with us before, after service. We love refreshments. You know, I kind of heard that there's one more thing that we haven't told anybody. And I know that they can check Facebook and Instagram and then go on our website, New Hope FWC. But wouldn't it be great if you told us about that one last thing?
Yes. I neglected to tell you that, you know, they were going to charge me $35 per plate at the women's retreat, okay? Which is kind of normal when you're having something catered, but, you know, we have good food here, and I didn't want to charge you that much. So I enlisted Jesse, and Jesse is going to cater it, but, you know, he needs some help up there. And I got the bright idea, my husband needs a little break, it's time for him to do a little fishing, visiting the mountains. So I'm getting a room by myself with my honey. He gets to actually stay for free, because if you get one room, it costs the same whether he's in there or not. And he also gets free breakfasts. So it got me thinking, since the men don't have retreats right now, any men want to join their ladies? The men will go off. It's not going to interrupt our playtime at all. In fact, I'll be in my pajamas in somebody's room playing. There is no interruption. But they get to come, and they get to help serve us for our dinner Friday night. Remember, I am doing this retreat in place of our mother-daughter breakfast. And who serves us at our mother-daughter breakfast?
The wonderful men in this house.
Amen. So, any men who want to join their wife and go fishing and go hang out with the men on their free time and come help Pastor Jesse serve us a dinner on Friday night, you are welcome as well.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Pastor Ron.
We do have a men's barbecue on February 9th. Yeah. We got a barbecue, guys. Pastor Robert Mosbach is going to be here from England. And if you have heard him before, he's a wonderful, powerful man of God. And he's agreed to come and minister to the men that night. So this isn't for women. This is just men. We're going to barbecue great. Have a great meal. Pastor Jesse's making baked beans. I heard Andy, the lady that made that dessert bar yesterday, is going to make dessert for us too, guys. So plan to come and be a part of that. I'm just excited to what God is doing in the house and in your life. So let's stand and let's pray and let's go and have a great day. Father, we give you praise today. We thank you for our time in your presence. I thank you for these men and women of God. And Lord, I pray a covering over them today. I pray that you bless them, you heal them, and you protect them, Father, this week as they go about their life. And Lord, that we would have that hunger and thirst for your word, God. We give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.